I just want to say thank you very much for coming. My name is Tim McGee, and it's quite an honor and privilege to be up here speaking in front of you and telling you a little bit of my story to you, my peers. So thank you very much for that. My testimony, my background very much began as someone who grew up in a Christian home, ideal situation. I mean, very low on drama, very high on heritage. The Timothy that's described in the Bible would very much match my description. My mother knew the Lord. My grandmother knew the Lord, knows the Lord. My parents are missionaries. And so that's a little bit of where I came from. When it came time to leave the home and leave the interesting family story and go off to college and do other different things, it was then time to build on that family heritage. And for the longest time, I'll get to that. What I first want to say is that there's a lot of what I knew about Scripture and what I knew about the Word from having been raised in a Christian home, in the missionary home, going to Awana, memorizing all the Bible verses. And I actually do want to share a few of those with you right now to give you a little bit of a foundation of an idea of where I came from. The first one would be Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Another great verse is Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. This one's a long one, but this one, I really love how it has a lot of several very familiar verses, and a lot of times you don't realize they go together. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. And then the one that I think speaks most clear to the scripture as the sword, other than the passage in Ephesians 6 about the spiritual armor, is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Lastly, Romans 3, 1 and 2, what advantage then has the Jew? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. The whole reason God made the Jewish nation was for them to carry his word to all the nations, to be a blessing to all peoples. I went to high school in Florida, and during the summer of 1994, Youth for Christ was holding their super conferences, DC, LA, 94, and of course, here in D.C. and in L.A. And we drove up, and that was a great experience. That was back when the conference had 25,000 students strong coming in. And, you know, that was when D.C. Talk was big and a lot of great speakers. And it was an all-around great time. One of the most memorable moments of that conference was when, and I tried to find her name, I can't remember who it was, I want to say Kathy Tricoli, but it very well could have been somebody else, but there was a lady who spoke, and she talked about how years ago she had made a commitment when she was challenged to spend an hour every day in the Word and in prayer, and she just went on and on and on telling all these different stories about how that had just changed her life and all the different things that she saw through that. Well, at the end of her hour-long talk or so, she challenged all 25,000 of us students to spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. Not an hour, just 10 minutes. And it was very challenging and very moving, and when 1,000 students stand up, the other 25,000 follow, and pretty much the whole place was standing room only in the entire Washington Convention Center. And so that was a great shining moment, and yet also could have then been a very low moment, because it was very short-lived for me. You know, we came back, we went back to Florida, we shared it with our youth group and told lots of different stories, but, you know, the reality was it didn't become a habit, and I didn't do that for 12 years. What was worse was that I would talk about God's word, and I would still, I knew these verses that I just shared with you, and the truths in them, and I would talk to other people, and even in prayers, you know, thank God for his word, but it was as if I was thanking God for a gift that I hadn't allowed him to give me. Which is really kind of strange. Anyway, so that went on from 1994 until 2006. For 12 years, I just either forgot about or ignored or, you know, never fulfilled that commitment that I had made. And finally, a couple years ago, I decided enough's enough. You know, I made a commitment. I may have missed it for 12 years, but it's time to pick it back up again. So what I'd really like to do tonight is then share with you what I have found over the last couple years as I've been doing this reading in the Word. In fact, it was just today, to borrow Kendall's story from this morning, I had an epiphany on Epiphany Sunday, because I realized that I'm less interested in applying Scripture to my life and more interested in applying my life to Scripture. And that may sound like just a semantic difference, but the meaning really does change. And so if the meaning changes, it's not just semantics, because it's a whole different perspective. The direction is completely different. You know, instead of me being the center of things and me saying, how can I apply Scripture to me, it's me now looking at Scripture and saying, where do I fit into this picture of what God is doing? You see that difference? So that's what's been really exciting for me. And what I want to do now is share some of those things that I've seen in looking at Scripture and figuring out, looking at where do I see myself in this picture. One of these is Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Another great one is Romans 6:7-9. He who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. And that is just a fantastic message of hope. You know, I love to say, that's real. That's going to happen. And I know I'm going to be there. You know, isn't that exciting? So that's been very interesting and challenging for me. Another thing that's been very interesting, I say interesting a lot, sorry, that happens is getting to know God more. You know, it's really a relationship. Sometimes, you know, I could really relate to the disciples in that I almost didn't, this will sound bad, but it's the truth. I almost didn't like Jesus because he was the one who would tell these cryptic stories and not explain anything. It's like, dude, answer the question, you know. So, but Romans 4:17 is great because it says, he is God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Proverbs 9:10 says, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Sometimes the Bible is also hard to understand, and that's often because the Bible doesn't say things that we want it to say or that we expect it to say. And as much as I'm looking forward to that day when we will all be together with him, you know, there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great wedding garment, the incense that goes before him, you know, our good works and our prayers and all that stuff that it talks about in Revelation. There's also a day coming between now and then. And when Paul was before Felix, Luke records in Acts 24:25 that Paul, reasoned with Felix about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Romans 2:16 says that day, the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And that's a very convicting verse. It really makes you not want to keep any secrets. Because everything, there are no secrets. You know, everything that we've done will be put out in the open. And it's when you read the scriptures that those truths really, you know, there's the exciting parts, but there's also, there's the reality that comes in between them. There was a verse as I read through the New Living Translation that I couldn't find when I went back searching for it. And I found it, I think, recently when I was reading through the English Standard Version last year. And it's Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And so the question I actually somewhat, in some ways, want to end with a challenge is both, you know, do you see yourselves in these verses, in these truths, in these words that God has given to us of the great hope and also the judgment that comes in between now and then? Are you ready for those? Romans 9:10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I also, those of you who know me know that I like to ask questions and pick apart ideas and make people think. And so I found a couple New Life verses recently in 2 Peter about stirring people up. and I want to share those with you as well. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 14. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. 2 Peter 3, 1 to 2 says, this is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. And I know some of you are also Bible scholars in the room and study the word, and there's a tendency to say, yes, it's great to be hearers of the word, but not doers only. And to that I would say, sometimes being a doer of the word also means studying the word. I love the account that Luke gives us in Acts 17, verses 10 through 11, when he says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness and examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. When you spend time in the Word, it makes it easier to share it with others. You become familiar with it, and so that's, I don't know, I am trying to sell you on, you know, read the Word. And then lastly, when you do share it with others, sometimes people think, oh, well, if people don't believe the Bible, then you can't share it with it. And Paul actually answers that question in Romans 3:3 when he asks the, He puts the question out there saying, what if some did not believe? And he answers that with a question saying, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? And so that's where I've been. And the bottom line for me is reading the word to live by faith and hope for the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you very much.